Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Special Monsters Unit by Eve Langley. Narrated by Tanya Eby. Prologue. I will not be bad today. I will not be bad today. To keep my promise, I did everything I could to ensure my first day at my new school went well. The night before, I dyed my vibrant red hair a dark brown, a dull color that made my skin appear sallow. Totally not attention-getting from anyone but my mother, although her issue wasn't with the hair color itself. "What did you do to the sink?" she'd screamed, pointing at the discoloration. I'd tried to scrub it clean. It didn't work as well as I'd hoped. Perhaps I should have paid a few extra dollars and gotten a more reputable brand of hair dye. Only, I didn't have more money, so the dollar store dye was what I bought. Mother lost her mind for a bit, which happened quite often, meaning it didn't have the impact it used to now that I'd heard it so many times. Mother, don't call her anything else, told me I'd be paying the damage deposit. Not sure how. I'd used the last of my puny hoard on the dye. I'd need to find a job, and soon. The last time I'd run dry of cash happened to coincide with Mother getting hot and heavy with some guy at work, who turned out to be married. Not something she knew until she'd wasted her savings and paychecks helping him buy a car, which he then used to move his wife and two kids. It left us in a bad way. I had to ration my ramen noodles. It took her a month before she snapped out of it. Blamed me. Moved us again. I'd lost track of how many times. How long would this new place last? At least she had a job. With her currently sober and having a reason to get up in the morning, maybe things would finally not suck. She left, her parting words, "Do not make me come to that school." As if I purposely got in trouble. Most of the time, I wasn't to blame. Mother left for work, and I had a lovely time eating my bowl of cereal in absolute quiet. Nothing too heavy for my first day of school. Already I felt slightly queasy about the fact that, within the hour, I'd be walking into a classroom filled with strangers, all of them staring at the new girl. No matter how many times it happened in my life, starting over never got easier. But I'd gotten better at feigning aloofness. No one knew how terrified I was inside. It was a good 15-minute walk to my school. Not a bad commute, given I'd done a year and a half in a place that was more than 30 on a good day. It sucked in the winter. We'd scored a basement apartment in suburbia, which meant green grass and a school not surrounded by traffic and concrete. It was huge, two stories and sprawling, with big sports fields past it. A massive parking lot in the front. Within a year, I'd be 16. And if I saved up, I could be driving myself instead of pounding pavement. Kids converged on the sidewalks leading into the massive edifice of learning and spilled over onto the grass past the bike racks, where a few trees provided zones for the groups of kids to congregate. I spotted the goth group by a towering maple, wearing black, head to toe, hair and makeup too. They stood around a circle on the ground, the borders of it lined in salt. A guy with towering spiked hair chanted from the book he held, probably trying to summon a demon. As if they had the combined power. Only the most powerful wizards could manage. I'd watched a documentary on it. It was why no one bothered stopping them. Blame movies for making them think it was possible. In the open area, the cheerleaders with their perfect hair, glossy lips, and a spring in their step, practiced, their chants and dance drawing eyes to their beauty. I wondered how many of them paid for charms to hide their flaws. Lucky girls. I didn't have any magical aid. My mother claimed cosmetic hexes were a waste of money because I shouldn't hide my truth.
People need to see you as you are, that they might recognize evil is amongst them.
I'd learned from a young age to not ask Mother why she remained convinced to this day that I carried evil incarnate in me.
When I questioned, she claimed I'd tried to use sweet lies to blind her to the truth. I know what you are, Satan's curse. And then she'd beat me until I cried mercy, which, depending on my mood, could take a while. Sometimes I didn't want to give in. Why, the last time my mother started hitting me, I said not a word as she wailed on my back where people couldn't see the bruises. I stood there and took it until my alarm went off for school. I'd then whirled and grabbed her swinging fist, offering a low, "I have to go."
"You'll go when I say you can go, spawn of evil!"
Words spat at me as she struggled against my grip. I'd squeezed her fists tighter and took a step toward her, snapping, "Hit me one more time and I will strike back." My first threat, and she didn't like it. She ducked her head, muttering, "Spawn." Whatever. At least she'd been keeping her hands to herself since. My saunter took me past the cheerleaders, feeling awkward in my body, even as I knew I shouldn't compare myself. Almost to the school. On the strip before it, the jocks hung around, pushing and shoving each other as they tossed a football around. They didn't play gently. They slammed into each other, grabbing at the ball, laughing raucously, huffing with adrenaline. It proved too much for one guy. Clothes ripped as he spontaneously changed into a wolf. Teenage shapeshifters didn't have great control. He howled and took off, which led to three others following suit. Must be a pack in the area for so many werewolves to be at one school. Standing on the steps leading into the school were the wizard wannabes with their plain robes and only a handful of hairs on their chins, a long way from the luscious beards the older wizards wore. The witches were to the side of the stairs, wearing short skirts or leather pants paired with crop tops. Hair of wild colors, dagger-like nails painted to match their lips. I liked their style best. Wished I could do magic. I envied how the tips of their fingers sparked with light as they zapped each other and giggled. I didn't have anything special about me. Just count me as part of the shrinking human population as magic and cryptids flourished. I was plain old Ruby Garcia. Born of a woman who hated me pretty much from birth, and unknown father because, despite what she claimed, my father wasn't the devil. As to why she was convinced of my surely hellish origin, my red hair. It sprouted from my scalp, bright red and thick, hair I'd been forbidden to cover until now. My dark dye would cover my hair, and my shirt, apparently. A glance down showed some of the dye rubbing off on the fabric of my hoodie, the light blue easily dirtied. Fuck me. Too late to turn back. I kept moving, and no one gave me a second glance. Good. Let people ignore me. I just wanted to finish high school and get away from my mother. I only had 3 years left. My foot hit the first step to the school, and my stomach started cramping. Badly. I grabbed the metal railing and held on tight, lest I double over. The pain just about stole my breath. Please don't let me poop my pants. It didn't feel like that kind of cramp, though. Maybe it was my appendix. If it exploded, I could die. The cramp subsided. Maybe I'd live. But I'd hit the bathroom just in case. After all, I'd yet to get my period. Almost 16 and still waiting. My mother claimed demon spawn, like me, didn't bleed like a regular woman. I wanted a second opinion. I couldn't afford one, so I researched online. The internet called me a late bloomer. According to the web doctor I'd spoken with, I still had a few more years before I should panic. The pain in my lower abdomen subsided. And I took another step, bringing me level with the lounging wizards, who tried to pretend they weren't looking at me. They totally were, though. A girl, even one as plain as me, got checked out. I barely saw what happened next, but I heard it. A jock yelled, "Heads up!" Immediately followed by an indignant feminine screech. "Ow! That hit me!" The witch who'd gotten bonked flung out a hand. Only her little zap went awry and hit a kid in a robe. He yelped and waved around his hand, which led to the group of young wannabe wizards, flailing. Streaks of light fizzled and popped in a chaos of magic I'd never seen before. My last two schools had been in the city, where there tended to be less special folk, or so my mom called them. Here, they didn't hide their special nature. The witches and wizards got into a fight, flinging little bolts of lightning or magic or whatever it was at each other. Not all of them hit their intended targets. A few slapped into me, jolting my body, reigniting the cramp, and then multiplying it. The intensity sent me to my knees. Wetness flooded between my legs, which was when I heard the thing no teenage girl wants to hear. "Oh my God, she's bleeding!" Laughter started. I'm sure fingers pointed. I couldn't see through the tears blurring my vision as shame engulfed me and mixed with my pain. No one cared. I felt as if I was dying. My insides were being turned inside out. And just when I thought I would start screaming for mercy, it stopped. Too late, though. My pants were soaked. A Niagara Falls of blood that whooshed all over, staining my new light blue jeans. So unfair. Why? Why did this have to happen to me? My agony pulsed within as I hid my face in humiliation. The buzzing around me got louder. "Brittany, what happened to your face?" asked a girl. "Eek, my charm's malfunctioning," squeaked another. The wizards shrieked the loudest. "My magic isn't working." A teacher emerged as the agitation of the students grew. She took one look at me and called an ambulance. I wanted to say I was okay, only to realize she thought we'd encountered some kind of mass poisoning event. The EMTs declared me fine on sight and gave me a blanket to wrap around my waist. We all got sent home that day, and school was closed until they could test the premises. I wondered what happened even as, deep down inside, I had a feeling it was my fault. According to the email newsletter updates, no cause could be found for the failure in magic. All the kids recovered. Good for them. Classes would resume in the morning. For everyone else. I was never going back. I'd do online schooling at the library first. School turned out to be the least of my problems. My mother took one look at the pants soaking in the sink when she got home the night of the incident, said not a word, and went straight to her room. The next morning when I woke, she was gone. Within the week, I ended up in a government-run facility for abandoned kids. Chapter 1. Shifting my weight slightly to the left didn't ease the cramp in my thigh. Too bad. I wasn't sitting again. My ass didn't appreciate the cold tile floor in the frigid museum where I conducted my stakeout. I should have brought a pillow and a blanket. Hell, a face mask would have been welcome, given the dinosaur bones I crouched behind didn't smell all that good, even if dead for a gazillion years. I'd been here since well before closing, pretending to be just another history buff, wandering the many rooms with their displays, hiding when the museum closed. On purpose and with permission, I should add. I'd been hired to resolve an unknown phenomenon. Given it had been months since my last consultant gig, I was stoked and determined to get this job right. Government contracts, like this current short-term one with the cryptid authority, paid well. Well, enough that a steady gig of them would let me quit the night shift at the cemetery. When you were as unlucky as me, finding good jobs proved hard. Fluke accidents plagued me, because magic in my vicinity had a habit of failing with catastrophic results. No one had died. Yet. That was the word they'd used when they put me on reserve status. I thought I'd been banished from the CA forever, but then they'd contacted me for help. This job at the museum required someone not affected by spells or other unexplained phenomena. Someone who could counter the curse causing so many problems. At exactly 2:03 in the ungodly early morning, the power went out, as it had for the past few nights, according to the file I'd read. The backup generator didn't kick in, meaning lights, cameras, motion detectors, all of it suddenly stopped working until exactly 4:05 a.m. The maintenance guys claimed none of the equipment was at fault. The hydro folks couldn't find a reason for the lack of power either. The surveillance cams, for obvious reasons, captured nothing during these dead moments, which in turn meant no one knew who kept rearranging the exhibits. The first night it happened, museum staff entered the next morning to find the security guard trapped and panicked inside a sarcophagus. Upon being released, he screamed something about mummies and curses, then quit. It should be noted, there were no mummies in this particular location. The preserved dead tended to remain under heavy magical guard in order to avoid an undead rising situation. Everyone involved with the museum assumed it was a prank, a fluke, a nothing burger, until the repeat the following night. This time, the replacement guard found himself waking in the belly of the very dinosaur I crouched behind. Apparently, he had no clue what happened. He quit, too. Word traveled quickly, and no one would cover the next evening shift. Couldn't really blame them. Obviously, something magical was at work. The guards and their memory lapses weren't the only thing happening. Entire collections of treasure, most of it old and very valuable, got displaced. The gold from the tomb of some ancient Egyptian sorcerer was piled in a Jenga-like tower that defied gravity. The mannequins, showcasing the evolution of wizard's attire, were doing a conga around the room with the carved stone phallus from another exhibit, adding a risque flair. On the night where there was no guard on duty, a good chunk of the remaining staff quit on the spot when they realized various canine breeds had replaced the faces of some famous people in some very old, now worthless, portraits. Someone was pranking the museum hard, and given the magical aspect to the various acts, the cryptid authority was called in. That was 2 nights ago. 2 nights of their usual agents failing, including their star, the arrogant Percy Jenkins. Mr. I am so great because I can do magic, didn't fare any better than the security guards. He was discovered naked, hung upside down over a pyre of burning books, with stuffed animals placed all around, roasting pieces of his clothing and sitting on pillows made of the hair shaved from his body. All the hair. Savage. I'll admit I laughed when I heard. After Percy's epic failure, they finally called me in. Hopefully it was the start of me getting off the CA's shit list. Last job I'd done for them, I failed to properly secure a siren before bringing her in for unlawful singing with intent to bespell. My mistake? I removed her gag so she could have a drink of water. She'd said a polite, thank you, and people hit their knees, screaming. Not me. It had no effect on my nullifying magic ass. I ended up stuffing the magic ball gag back in her mouth before she could utter another syllable. Too late. A few people had to go to the hospital for burst eardrums, meaning the CA uppers weren't happy. Story of my life. But this was my redemption moment. And if it involved a cold fucking floor that might permanently numb my poor cheeks, then so be it. With the power out, I couldn't see much. The skylights overhead offered only enough ambient light for me to make out shapes. A few minutes after the power failed, I heard the scuff of something sliding. Silently, I rose and moved out from behind my bony cover. Scree! Stone on stone. I turned to see a stone pedestal being shoved across the floor. But I couldn't see by what. I approached it quietly. The pedestal stopped moving. A few seconds later, a new screeing noise showed another display column being pushed.
I neared the first one and did my best to hide behind it. When the screaming stopped, I popped around to see a slim figure walking away. "By the authority of the cryptid authority, halt and put your hands up." I followed the protocol to the letter. The person paused and whirled to stare at me. It was a woman, slim, with indistinct features, hair long enough it swirled around her body. No clothes that I could see. "Who are you?" I asked.
"Who are you?"
she mimicked. "I am Cryptid Authority Special Agent Garcia. I need you to come with me, ma'am." The head cocked, and the blur of the mouth curved.
"No?"
"You are trespassing on museum property. Please come with me." I kept it by the book. Ask repeated times so there's no misunderstanding. Change the phrasing if needed.
"I don't think so,"
spoken in a sibilant whisper. As I got closer, the person flinched.
"Do not touch me."
It retreated, floating more than using its feet. Its movement halted me. Could all this be the work of a poltergeist? It seemed unlikely. Most could barely affect their environment, but no denying she didn't have definite edges. The closer I got, the more her shape wavered. And she didn't like it.
"Away!"
she shooed me with her see-through hands. "I'll go away once I know you're secured." Time to put in a call. Ghosts were a totally different department from mine. The Society for the Spiritually Challenged, aka Spook Club, usually handled them.
"Away,"
it insisted. Then it hissed at me. I hissed back and got close. She dove through a wall. Whatever, ghosts weren't my gig. I made a call and got sent home. Great. At least they paid my hourly rate for the time I'd spent. 2 nights later, they called me back in. It seemed that while we were dealing with a ghost, it appeared to be a cursed one, and they were having difficulty banishing it. I got a second chance. This time, I didn't bother hiding, and I brought my camping chair, the kind that unfolds with a flick and cradles the ass. I also had a thermos of hot chocolate and a bag of chips. By the time 2 a.m. hit, I was feeling pretty mellow. Not so the cursed ghost. She emerged to see me and screeched, "Away, you go!" "This doesn't have to be difficult. Just let me hug you and this can all be over." Or so I hoped. The only thing they told me when I took this new job was, "Get rid of it." When I asked how, they said, "Figure it out." Fantastic. My plan? Hug it and see if that killed the magic tethering it to this plane. Where they went after, that remained a matter for debate, the most popular theory being the afterlife. It sounded nicer than hell. The cursed ghost lady started throwing stuff at me. And before you think trinkets, I mean the rock with some of the commandments written on it, the lid of a coffin, the stone kind, glass display boxes. I might nullify magic, but smack me hard with something and I'd still bleed, which would suck. I really liked this jacket. "Why does everyone have to do things the hard way?" I grumbled. I advanced on the ghost, and she went all out, her tiny little spirit body inhabiting everything in my path and using it against me. Pity the cameras didn't work, because I probably looked badass stalking through the disaster tornado. I reached for her, and she darted out of reach while spitting, "No! Don't you get pissy with me. I'm not the one who couldn't haunt the place nicely. You just had to be a jerk about it." I lunged, but she flitted away. I didn't let her escape and kept swiping as she weaved through the next room with its mannequins. Most had toppled by the time I reached the other side. I almost caught her a few times, my hand swiping and catching thin air. Damn it. When she finally allowed me to grab hold, I thought this was it. I'd destroyed her. Only I couldn't actually touch a ghost. The specter had no solid substance, no actual magic. She laughed as she escaped.
How could I stop the ghost if I couldn't touch it? I remembered my lessons in college about curses, a thing that interested me greatly for obvious reasons. While curses varied in application and other aspects, the one thing they all required? An anchor. All curses were tied to something, living or not. The object didn't matter. Even the most benign thing you could think of could be a focal point. The ghost mocked me, thinking she had me beat. I smiled back. Where is your version of a coffin? Is it in the museum itself? A back room? I began trailing my hand on objects. Am I getting hot yet? The spirit couldn't hide its shock or panic as it fled through a wall. I'd obviously hit a sore point. I also had a new plan, find the ghost's anchor. I moved swiftly through the place, wondering what and where it could be. I felt it when I walked past. A shiver of the very air itself. It coincided with a pang of hunger. I'd have to get a burger after this. Turning to my side, I noticed a door marked utility. Opening the closet, a shelf with cleaning bottles lined close to the edge drew my gaze. Pulling them down revealed the broken shards lying behind them, along with a jar of glue. A broken vase, which explained why the ghost had only just appeared. Someone made a boo-boo and broke a vessel, releasing a curse. But rather than tell someone, they tried to hide it. The ghost took that moment to peek out of the base of the vase and hiss at me. I have had enough from you. I reached for the shards, and it screamed. The ghost flung everything at me, bottles of cleaner and the shards. Big mistake. The broken pottery cut my flesh and hurt. But as the pieces touched me, they released whatever magic they held. The spirit tried to wedge herself into the base, whining and crying, long dead and long overdue for peace. I placed my hands on the large chunk, and the spirit tied to it emerged as a thin wisp of smoke that ended in a spark. The tiny mote of light winked out, and I'd have sworn I heard a faint, "Thank you." Seconds later, the power returned, along with the lights and cameras. Not long after, reinforcements arrived. I gave my report to the museum director, who did not appear grateful. Neither was the cryptid authority boss when I entered his office, considering he yelled, "Do you know how much damage you caused?" Apparently, enough to get me sent home and not expect a paycheck. Guess I'd better see if I could pick up a few graveyard shifts. Chapter 2. A week later, and the CA was still pissed at me. But in good news, I'd been hired to watch over a mausoleum for the Graven family. Apparently, great-great-something-grandpa was due to rise, looking for a body. Not just any body, but the son of whoever was the current leader of the family. Given this dead relative hadn't been liked when alive, the family had been making sure Great-Grandpa Squared didn't succeed. When the mausoleum door creaked open, I lifted my head from my exciting game of Candy Crush to wave. "Hey, so, two choices, Gramps. You go back to bed all nice and undead-like, or I end your curse right now." He wisely chose to go back to sleep for another 70 years. Dawn hit, and I was free to go home, where Wally, short for What the Ever-Loving Fuck, my oversized cockatoo slash Caladrius, was happy to see me. I entered to his whistled, "Hey, sugar tits, how's that juicy booty of yours shaken?" I just made rent for one more month, but nothing more because I'd messed up the museum job. My mother had it right. I was cursed, and I didn't have anyone to break it. If only there existed a magic-free zone somewhere in the world, a place where buildings wouldn't crumble or shoot water as I disrupted their construction hexes. I couldn't be fooled by illusions. Ugly things remained ugly. If a power wasn't grounded in hard science, the kind that could actually be measured and studied, then it had no effect on me. You'd think that would make me the perfect CA agent, After all, the cryptid authority only dealt in cryptid beings, many with whom magic formed a part of their identity. However, my power usually brought chaos. It led me to wondering more often than I liked if my
sample complete. Ready to continue?